The following podcast contains adult language and references. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trustmakers.
Hi there, I'm Jackie Cooper. I'm the Global Chief Brand Officer and Senior Advisor at Edelman. And I'm really, really excited this week to be joined by Melissa Hobley, Global Chief Marketing Officer at OkCupid, one of the largest dating apps in the world. Melissa is a longtime expert on building brands and is widely known for her ability to meet the moment in terrific, bold and inclusive ways. She's been credited with turning around OkCupid's once languishing brand in the nearly 5 years since she joined the company. Prior to joining OkCupid, Melissa led marketing teams at Walgreens and Biology. Melissa, welcome to the Trustmakers. Let's get started.
Thank you so much for having me and for that lovely introduction.
Well, I think I really wanted to talk about your background as a marketeer to start with, because you've got really great experience across a raft of brands. And I just wanted to ask you, what's been your experience in building trust in brands? And did that sort of experience ultimately lead you to be in this current role as CMO at OkCupid?
Yeah, it's hard to do that, isn't it? Building trust is difficult. And it means you have to show up and you have to do something differently. And I think that's what's changed over the last 10 years is, I'm ex-Walgreens. And I think when Walgreens was around in the early, Walgreens is now over 120 years old, but, you know, for at least the first half of their lifespan, Walgreens earned trust because of its size and its place as a pharmacy. But now, it doesn't matter what your size and it doesn't matter what you do. You building trust is partly about getting attention, right? People have to actually care or give a shit about what you're doing to give that to you. And so I think when I first met the team at OkCupid, and frankly was a little, you know, I hadn't been hearing about that brand in a while, probably maybe like many of you listening who were like, oh, OkCupid, like, well, I know that they were a dating site at one point. I think I knew someone that used it sometime, you know, and I think that they, you know, I've often worked for underdog brands. And even though Walgreens is a behemoth and an iconic, the brands within it that I worked on were challenger brands, were new brands. I spent time in beauty. And so I think they liked that I felt that the path to trust had to be bold and interesting. And you really had to, I believe, you really have to do something meaningful to earn that. You can't just exist. You can't just be a great product. You have to go beyond that. And I think that's why we liked each other, to use a dating pun.
Well, that's good. The right swipe. You mentioned something that's really close to my heart. You talked about caring. And I always talk about the fact that you have to care to hear the message. Like if you don't care, you don't hear the information. And one of the things that struck me about your work, and you sort of mentioned it, is that, you know, you joined OkCupid when it wasn't doing so great. So you had to take some steps to rebuild trust in the brand and draw new users. And one of the things that I really noticed from your work is you seem to have this instinctive inherent presence of a sort of earned media mentality, like to earn your way, not to shout and demand your way, but to just have amazing creative that pulls you in and that makes people care. And so they do engage. So how did you sort of, what steps did you take to sort of draw new users into the app? And how much was that earned media mentality part of that process?
Yeah, you know, for the folks who are in comms or have been in comms or PR, I started my career in PR. I think my brain will always think about are people going to talk about this? Is this actually saying something meaningful and newsworthy? Jackie and I were joking earlier that I kind of think once you've been in PR, it's like the saying about organized crime or the mafia, you never really get out, you can never leave. And so I fully thought about that with OkCupid. And yes, I joined at a time when the dating app space is so interesting. It is incredibly competitive. It is very, it's such an intimate decision. The average person has 3 or 4 dating apps on their phone, but they're primarily using 1 or 2. So it's, you know, a little bit like credit cards in that way. But people also, most people hate dating. There's just all these things happening. And also marketing a dating app is interesting. It's, the challenge is a little bit like opening up a nightclub or a restaurant every single night of every week of every month, 365 days a year. And my OkCupid only works if there are other people at the bar on the app that you want to talk to and engage with. So you're constant, and people are constantly coming in and out, right? It's not like Nike or Manolo Blahnik, right? Where you're like, you're just a fan for life and you will dip in and out of that brand and be making purchases your whole time, your whole life. Many of our users are looking for something serious. So they'll come to OkCupid, they find someone and that's it. We'll never see them again. And maybe you've got them for 3 months, maybe it took 6 months, maybe it took a year, but many of our users are like that. So you're also, you know, you're always thinking about hitting them at this life stage that they're looking for connection. So, you know, with OkCupid, the first part of the comeback was getting your attention and doing that in a bold way and leaning into some of the things I just referenced, like, you know, people didn't like dating. And so we pulled apart, why didn't they like dating? And we were working with Wieden and Kennedy on this campaign, which was DTF. DTF means down to fuck, if you don't know what that means. It was often a label that straight guys would use with other straight guys talking about girls and if they were essentially down to hook up. And it was one of the negative things kind of related to slut shaming and the nonsense in dating. And we wanted to reclaim that. And we worked with Maurizio Catalan, who's a prolific, interesting, bold artist who was up for doing crazy things with us. He also rarely does commercial work, but he was up for this challenge. And that campaign put us back on the map. And I was overwhelmed by the response that it got. I started with OkCupid in June. And in, you know, 3 months, we had a concept we loved. We shot with Maurizio and his brilliant team, and we had really incredible work. And we brought that to life in cities across the US. And it certainly drove the business in huge ways. I mean, you know, the KPIs of a dating app are things like downloads, new users. OkCupid is free. So primarily we're looking for, you know, people to come in that aren't even paying, but then you're also looking at, you know, are folks converting to subscription. But then what was also amazing, Jackie, I remember the first day it went live in New York City, and I started to see posts from not my friends or cousins, but from strangers posting the creative onto their Instagram or their Twitter. And then that kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And the way that people felt like that creative spoke to them and the way that they looked at us in a new way was really exciting and beautiful. That campaign worked so well that we had it live for 2 years. And it was the first campaign in OkCupid's history. They didn't really have a marketing function before we joined. So that was the beginning of earning that trust back and getting people to consider us as their dating app.
I mean, it's an amazing story because it's very brave, but it's also very on point to show the understanding of the consumer that wasn't really being talked to. You know, the dream of a campaign is,
yeah,
but you create a campaign and then you see it have momentum all by itself. You know, that's when you know you've really struck gold with getting the right zeitgeist, the right cultural insight and the right message. So do you think that, you know, when you look at when you started and now where we're at, and presumably your user base has shifted enormously because you're talking literally to every single person and you're talking to people who don't feel like they've been talked to before. Have you kind of had to, did you have to convince people of that? How did you have to adjust? How did you, and you've built trust with a whole ton of people who probably felt they weren't seen in media and marketing before, right?
Right. That's right. And it's amazing the comeback that OkCupid has had. You know, people, again, another, Jackie, I got a lot of dating puns. So, you know, but people fell in love with a brand again. And you know, I mentioned that people were sharing the campaign to their followers, but a lot of the images were rejected by billboard companies or cities, because we love advertising on transit and all over city. And so a lot of cities rejected that work, and we leaned into that to get tons of press and media. A very homophobic nonprofit called Citizen Go started a petition saying, OkCupid is promoting lesbian sex. Oh my God. And our response to that was, yes, my God, we are promoting lesbian sex. Thank you so much for amplifying the message. And so, yeah, it was provocative. And I kind of had to say to myself, God, I'm either going to get fired or get a promotion. But the user base grew. You know, that campaign, we really wanted to start with the US, but because we got the US business humming and you know, millions of new people coming on, we were then able to look at other parts of the world and take this formula of, okay, what's the cultural insight? What is, and you know, I don't think that the dating apps have done, you know, a terrifically amazing job capturing that and being really loud about it. Also, perhaps, you know, OkCupid, since the beginning, had an experience that was great for LGBTQ. You know, I will say we are always making improvements every single day. We are never done, but we have a lot of cred with LGBTQ daters because we've invested there. And so, you know, I think, you know, as I think about like continuing to build on that, you know, the first thing out of the gate went really well. And that earned us, you know, some attention in the industry. Most importantly, it earned us, you know, a place in the heart of a lot of single folks, and they liked what we had to say. And it gave me the confidence to keep getting bolder and more interesting with the campaigns that followed. So we did one right before COVID with Mechanism, which is a fantastic creative partner. And Jason Harris there is really phenomenal. And that campaign was basically taking seeming juxtapositions and saying it's okay. So, you know, it's okay. One of those statements was, it's okay to be into NPR and BDSM. It's okay to love high heels and also a man who wears them, right? And to just lean into interesting insights that we were hearing from daters. And that got us, you know, trust again. So, you know, I think that the idea that we were going to keep being provocative, but with real insight and, you know, rooted in product truth, which is, we do let you filter on those things. And today we're the only app in the world that will let you filter on social and political issues. So when we talked about, it's okay to filter out someone that doesn't vote, the product allows you to do that. If you're passionate about climate change, we're the only app in the world that will let you filter out someone that doesn't believe climate change is real. And then we have other questions about that too. Like if you're very engaged on the environment and you're taking steps in your everyday, that may be really important to you to find another person. So, you know, it's been amazing too, you know, especially coming from beauty, you know, a lot of product categories, if marketing is helping influence the product, you may see that, but it will be 1 to 2 to 3 years out. At a dating app, but especially OkCupid, we would come up with something and have it in the product 12 hours later. It was a beautiful marriage of product and marketing between Ariel Cheridan, the CEO of OkCupid, and Marcus Lofthaus, our CPO, who's gay and a very, you know, big part of that community, and brought a beautiful perspective to the product and helped us lean into that more. So I think we've earned, and then, you know, just a few months ago, we turned on something else that was like our most provocative work yet. But again, like tied to this insight of what's happening with identity and sex and gender and dating. And I think, you know, it's been nice to hear things like, we're, you know, okay, we're excited for the next thing, even though it's going to make me a little, you know, blush a little bit.
The podcaster is called The Trust Makers, and we're talking about trust. And you've referenced lots of reasons why the community should love and adore and trust you. Our Trust Barometer special report, the new brand equity, which we released last year, said that 68% say it's more important for them to trust the brands they buy or use today than in the past. So how do you actually measure trust at a dating app like OkCupid? And you know, do you think that this inclusion is what makes you more trustworthy than the other dating apps? Or is it not about trust? Is it just about relevance? Is trust important with this? It must be to be able to go out and date and feel safe, right?
That's right. Absolutely. It's really important. And listen, you know, it'd be irresponsible of me to not say how important trust is today with dating and sex and all of that, right? You're meeting a stranger. If we can get you that far, you're getting on the date, you know, it's a stranger. So trust is incredibly important. And I think that where we have earned this relevance is by bringing to life the shit that we care about at this brand. And that, you know, so, being the only dating app to take a real involvement in Black Lives Matter by creating a Black Lives Matter badge, which is kind of like a bumper sticker for your card, because we saw that so many daters wanted to say, I care about this movement. I care about this conversation. I don't want you to reach out to me if you're not also paying attention to this movement. And then adding 20 questions, which power the algorithm on racial and social equity, taking a stance on reproductive rights in the US, which is at a very scary and critical turning point. We're the only dating app with a pro-choice filter, a pro-choice badge. We are very close partners with Planned Parenthood. In fact, I was just with the CEO of Planned Parenthood at South by Southwest a couple of days ago. Corporate America is absolutely silent on the issue. So I think that we have earned trust by showing up in areas that weren't necessarily good for business, that were provocative for us to be in, and where other people were not showing up, be it tech, be it dating apps, be it other brands. So, I think, the trust part is so important for us. And we really think about that holistically. Yes, we also have important things like you can report, you can block. We make all of those pieces very easy in the app. We spend a lot of time thinking about that. We also have a badass head of trust and safety at Match Group, Tracy Braden, who she spent 15 years as a police officer. She was at Uber on trust and safety, and she's remarkable and has helped us innovate even further there. So, I think those things are all very, very interwoven. And if you feel like that brand is showing up for you in the areas of your life that you care about, and also, by the way, of course, we're donating, and whether that's ad space to nonprofits in these areas, whether that is just a check, we're showing up in those ways, and that's giving us, that's giving us some really great things. The way that we measure trust is in a couple of ways. One is the simplest is just, are people coming to the app? Are people downloading the app? If you don't trust this brand, you're not going to show up. And then it's other things, brand health trackers, which I'm sure lots of people listening are doing and engaged with, NPS scores, focus groups. We have a wonderful social psychologist whose expertise is in empathy, and she helps us also understand, where's perception, how are people leaning into the brand, how are they leaning into dating and dating culture right now, where can we help continue to make it easier to find somebody and fall in love.
It's amazing, because you need the science and you need the heart, but you also need the purpose now, right? It feels like the purpose is really important for us as consumers to feel like brands are taking action. We did a recent report and a deep dive on Gen Zers, and one notable data point that came through is that 9 in 10 want the brands they buy to get involved in causes that better the world. And our data also shows that brands need to stand for something, even if that's polarizing. So better to stand for something and be brave, be creative, than stand for nothing, which you're really the epitome of. So, given that you have these questions to touch on, you know, serious issues and you don't fight shy of that, like climate change, like racism, like gender equality, you know, how is that going to be present for you going forward? Is it harder with Gen Z compared with other generations to build trust, do you think?
Yeah, first of all, it's so important that Edelman is doing that kind of research and extrapolating those insights. That's exactly the kind of report that I have shown and will be showing to my leadership and my CEO. We know this because we're talking to people, but when a, you know, a global trusted brand like Edelman is putting out that research, it gives us the documented proof that we have to take a stand on issues and tell people what we care about and that it's not just our margin. So I really, you know, your report and insights on this issue, first of all, on younger consumers, but also on what moves them is really important. It's exactly the kind of thing that me and fellow CMOs use to push through, you know, partnerships and activation. So I applaud you for that.
We'll have you on any day, Melissa. Thank you for that.
But it's really important. And you know, it's great that you're doing it and you have to keep it up. I think it has never been harder to earn trust from these folks and these folks, meaning all consumers, but 20 somethings in particular, and they 100% are going to go on Google and look at what elected officials did your organization donate to, right? With this nonsense Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, you see this, you know, this uproar against Disney and, you know, the anti-trans legislation in Texas and, like, you know, where are companies coming out on that? And so I think it's just never been more important. I think you're right that they want to, even if they don't agree with everything that you're doing, they will take notice that you are taking that stand, right? I love Ben and Jerry's because they unapologetically have said we care about more than the profitability of this, you know, tub of ice cream we're selling you. And I think you feel that, and it's light years ahead of where other brands are. So it is hard. We're not going anywhere on this issue. You know, the great thing is that OkCupid is a little bit famous for telling rich stories about our data. By the way, we're not, advertising is a very small portion of our business. So we are not selling that data, but we ask you so that we know who to show to you. But we also then get a lens into, wow, people are putting on their profile, swipe left if you did not vote. And voting has become one of the biggest deal breakers in many countries around the world. Certainly there are countries like Australia where voting is compulsory, so you wouldn't see something like that. But, you know, we're paying attention. And we want, and in doing that, you know, we've accomplished something that our other competitors have not, which is one of the toughest things about dating is it feels superficial. And dating apps, I don't think have done the best job at making it not feel like people are just swiping on hot or not. And I hear from so many women that say, I don't feel this enough, be it a certain look, a certain appearance, and men the same thing. I don't feel tall enough. I don't feel this. I don't know. And so when you make it cool to bring your issues, pun again, another pun, but you know, to put on that profile that you care deeply about the environment or animal rescue or travel, whatever that is, you change the tone. And you change the temperature of the room, and you change a little bit how people are going to engage and be respectful and mindful. When you slow people down, when you make them answer questions like, is it important to you that your date votes? In India, we ask a lot of questions about traditional gender roles in marriage and raising children, because that's, you know, a very big issue. And women are really just having, you know, it's an exciting, interesting moment for women in India. But, you know, paying attention to those things has made us create an atmosphere that, again, we're never done, but it's doing a better job saying who you are and what you believe in is important. It's awesome. We want to know, we want to match you somebody on that, whether you're looking for a Saturday night or Saturday nights for the rest of your life.
Oh, good phrase. It must be one of the only businesses that success is when you actually lose your customers, right? Because then you've actually nailed the challenge.
Exactly. Exactly. It is. It's one of the only businesses that you're like, okay, I want to see you. We say we want to get you off, like, you know, in both meanings of that word, I want to get you off, and, you know, and then see you not an OkCupid, unless, you know, maybe you're in an open relationship, maybe you're not settling down. So, you know, stick around with us for a while. But, again, most of our folks are looking for something serious. So yeah, you want to see them go.
So I thought I'd take you back to the issues that people want to associate themselves with and stand up and be counted for, because quite often we get asked by clients, how do I do cause and how do I stop getting into politics? And our recommendation is, well, you know, advocacy and policy is fine, but politics isn't. So how do you manage that kind of controversy, particularly amid such a, you know, horrendously divided electorate in the US right now, and with everything that's going on? How do you manage that? And where do you kind of draw the line with issues, politics, and the controversy that arises from what's going on?
Yeah, and it is hard. And, you know, OkCupid is global, but the US, and, you know, we're number one in Israel. Our business is on fire in Germany. We're very popular in the UK. You know, we're popular throughout Asia. It is very interesting. And one of the funnest parts of my job is going in really deep on a country to understand what are the issues that matter. You always have more 20 somethings. OkCupid is for 18 to 108. But all dating apps, you're always going to have the majority of your customer base is going to be in its 20s, unless you're, you know, specifically targeting a 50 plus dater or something. So, you know, we're all trying to get in the head of like, okay, what matters? So in Germany, you know, a gender neutral language is really important. So we just, you know, we leaned into that, and in the product, you can feel that and see that, we are trying to create a gender neutral experience with the language and the app. In the US, it's an incredibly interesting time. One of the ways we think about it is people will say, well, that's a partisan issue, or you're really, you know, on one side of the aisle on this. And to that, on certain issues like LGBTQ rights, we don't see that as political. We see that as a human right. And certainly one side of the political spectrum in the US has embraced that and done a better job advocating for LGBTQ individuals. But we just don't even consider that. We're like, well, it's a basic human right. Healthcare and reproductive rights, we think, is a human right. Again, it's been embraced more by one side than the other. You know, we tend to not get involved with specific political candidates, but, you know, rather we want to support and further issues and topics that matter to our daters.
What I love about what you're doing is there's nothing tokenistic about it. This is not really marketing. This is campaigning, communicating, and sharing. It doesn't look like tokenistic marketing. So that's all amazing. But what do you do about navigating when there's misinformation, when there's kind of the negative or the wrong across social media and online? And how do you kind of mitigate against that and create a safe and trustworthy environment for users?
Yeah. You know, the first thing we do is whenever we're incorporating something into the product or marketing, we work with experts in that field. So when we were developing this campaign that's live right now, every single person and celebrates in like giant billboards and digital, every single non-binary, every single pansexual, words that need to be out there more, and we want to normalize them. When we are working on campaigns or product, we're working very closely with our friends at GLAAD, our friends at Human Rights Campaign, anthropologists, sociologists. We work with experts to ensure that we understand, you know, it might be that we understand, okay, as a pansexual dater, where's the product falling down in the experience of onboarding? How well is it doing matching you with people that that you might have chemistry with and that you're compatible with? So That's the first part. We then also work with them on the campaign, on how we are talking about it, on how we're messaging it. So that gives us insights and runway and confidence that we are aware, informed, sensitive, and humble about the issues or communities that we're supporting. You know, same thing on reproductive rights, working very closely with Planned Parenthood on everything that we're doing there to understand what's at stake, what can we do to support positive movement and positive change. So that's partly how we are, how we're careful there.
What we love about your work and we love about the way you run your brand is that there's truth in it. You know, you stand up for what you stand up for. You've been an amazing voice and vehicle for a community that hasn't had a voice and hasn't been represented in the way that you guys have done it. And that's telling in the response and the commitment and the engagement and the sales. So, you know, that shows that if you do that, and we are actually addressing all human beings rather than being stuck in traditional targeting of limited demographics, then everything gets better. The business gets better, the brand gets better, and the commercial delivery gets better. So all the things that you've done, what would be... Is there one thing that you say, well, look, this has actually been the highlight of my tenure at sort of leading this and making things so different? Is the highlight that you'd like to share?
I appreciate those kind words. And I think, listen, there's also a business case in that. I was just in Brooklyn. There was this interesting group of 20 something. They were women, they were straight. And without telling them where I worked, I said, what's the most important thing you want to know about a dating app if you're going to download? They were all single. They were like 25 to 28. And the first thing they all said, all of them, was, is it a great experience for non-binary individuals? And I said, are any of you non-binary? None of them were, but allyship was the most important thing to them. And so there is a business case for those listening that want to be a little bit bolder or support in communities or individuals that are marginalized or not supporting their current ecosystem. There is a business case for that. Again, like check out any one of these brilliant Edelman reports. There's two moments though that are probably highlights. The first is our hero image of DTF was two women. And if you Google OkCupid DTF, you'll see it. And the inspiration, Maurizio's inspiration for that was a romance novel from the 80s. Like imagine like flowing hair and this like beefy guy holding the damsel in distress, right? He's just lifted her off the train tracks or something. and when we were shooting that, we started with a guy and a girl, and then we kicked the guy out and we put a girl in. And when we were choosing the selects and we were figuring out this one gets the entire side of a giant building in San Francisco, and this one's gonna be all over LA. We went with the women, and I got a number of emails, but one I'll never forget. And it was a woman emailed us and said, I was with my wife. It's a lesbian couple. I pulled up at the stop sign. We're in San Francisco, and we look up and we see this giant image of two women in a romantic embrace, looking each other in the eye. And it was art, it was beautiful. And we started crying because we had never seen two women featured in any campaign or ad or anything. And this was 2018. So I think we see even more now, but I never forgot that. It was an eye-opening moment that I live in New York City. I've been here for 20 years. We think that we've made progress. And then you say to yourself, well, okay, we've come a little way, but many of the couples that were LGBTQ were men, and to make it look like art was really meaningful to them. So that moment, and then another, I never forgot that. And it became a bit of a North Star for the work that, and it was lucky for me that happened within 6 months of being on the job. I'm now about 5 years in. A second highlight is the campaign that we have now. And, again, like one of the insights was a lot of dating apps like, oh, we're inclusive, we're here for you. But actually the product experience doesn't stand up to that claim. And they had never really said that outside of an Instagram post. We wanted to say something bigger in the campaign that is on now. One of those images is for every single non-binary. And it's basically for every single person, everyone deserves love. And I showed it to someone, to a friend who's non-binary, and they said, I'm going, and this is someone who's not very emotional. And they said, I'm getting very emotional seeing this. And I'm thinking about what that will mean to me to walk onto the New York City subway or to be in West Hollywood, California, or to be in Berlin, or to be in London, or to be in Chicago, and to step out of my apartment building or out of an Uber and to see a giant, giant billboard that says, for every single non-binary, in this beautiful artistic fashion that celebrates and lifts up this identity where she said, I feel taboo. I feel like I can't talk about this. It does not feel, it's not something that's easy for me to talk about, to see that out there. And she got a little emotional. And so I am reminded that we have so many communities and individuals that, especially in this climate, especially with some of the legislation happening in the US, that feel stigmatized, that don't feel like they can be themselves. And the opportunity I have and the OkCupid has to say, you're fucking awesome as you are. And like, come into this club. We are so happy to have you. That is an incredible responsibility. So those are two moments that really stand out.
Well, Melissa, thank you honestly so much for coming on. Incredible stories, incredible bravery, incredible cultural zeitgeist harnessing and sharing those insights and expertise with us. And to our listeners, thank you so much for listening to The Trustmakers. Until next time.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.